Hey, it's a great day to be a developer, don't you think? Mm-hmm. I think so. This has been amazing. It's been amazing to see the different types of technologies, the different types of innovation, and we as developers, we get to party on that stuff. So that's pretty exciting. So in the keynote, we saw some glimpses of some things that have to do with apps for Office and have to do with single sign-on with SaaS applications and Office 365. So we saw a glimpse of some of those things in the keynotes, but we also, if you've been attending some of the other sessions, Keenan and Sonia did some sessions on 0 to 60 around apps for SharePoint and apps for Office. If you haven't seen those sessions and this is the first one you're attending, I really recommend that you view those because we aren't going to cover that ground again in this session here. But then also, if you went to the Visual Studio tooling session with Mike Morton, he gave a great talk around apps for SharePoint and how to build apps for SharePoint with the new tooling in Visual Studio 2013. So that's really, really cool stuff. That stuff has gone before. What we want to do in this session is we want to build on that and stitch together kind of an end-to-end solution that takes apps for Office, takes a software as a service application, back-end application, living on Windows Azure websites, tie that all together and be able to have single sign-on with Office 365 as the ultimate bonus at the end. So that's some really exciting stuff. There's some really powerful things that you can do with apps for Office and apps for SharePoint. So what we're going to do is try and pull that together for you in kind of an end-to-end story, and that's going to be something that I think that hopefully you'll take away and be able to think about as, hey, this is an architecture that maybe we can begin to build on and think about going forward. So I'm Donovan Follett. I'm a technical evangelist focused 100% on Office and SharePoint, and I have my distinguished colleague here with me today as the Windows Azure guy, so Brady.
Hi, I'm Brady Gaster, and I work with Donovan on the Windows Azure Evangelism team up in Redmond. And where I focus is on ASP.NET, Web API, SignalR, and in the Azure world, I focus on Windows Azure websites. So given the fact that apps for Office and websites work so well together, Donovan and I got together and we decided to put this talk together. So I'm going to be taking it from the perspective of a web developer who, prior to this talk, pretty much knew nothing about Office development and even less about SharePoint development. If you follow either one of us on Twitter, you probably see me tweeting things like, I can't believe this is SharePoint, I can't believe this is Office. Because it's been so much fun for me to take the skill set that I already know and love, which is ASP.NET and JavaScript, and to do Office apps with that. Just out of curiosity, how many of you in here would consider yourselves to be web developers over Office developers? Okay, how about the flip of that? How many of you are Office guys or ladies?
Awesome. Yep.
Okay.
Cool.
Good to know. Good to know.
All right, great. Well, you know, what was really exciting about this little project with Brady and I was that, you know, the thing about it is that you don't have to know everything as a developer, but you have to find somebody that is an expert in what they know, and they can couple your expertise with their expertise, and you can build something neat. So that's what's really exciting about it. So we teamed up and paired up and built out this demo and this talk today. So our agenda is we're just going to look a little bit at apps for Office and SharePoint. Why should we think about building these at scale? Why might we want to use Windows Azure and Windows websites as the back end for this? We'll talk through that. We're going to look deeply into the SaaS architecture. We're going to drill down into our code, and we're going to have demos all along the way that back up the code, and so that you can see exactly how this is stitched together under the covers, as well as the demo Chrome essentially on top. And then some of the things, we'll just kind of close out with some of the things to keep top of mind as you're building SaaS applications at scale on Windows Azure websites. So with that, from a business perspective, let's just think about this. You have this really bright idea, and this bright idea is that you go, man, there are tons of real estate agents out there, and I know I have a number of real estate agents in my family, and they work in independent real estate agencies. They don't work with the big corp agencies, and they need to be able to manage their listings. They need a place to be able to manage their listings. So you have this bright idea, and you go, I would like to have a SaaS application built for these independent real estate agents so that they can store their listings and they can write up information about their listings. And I want to be able to present that out to the public. And so I'm going to build a SaaS application. I don't know how many users I might have. I might have hundreds of users. I might have thousands of users. I might have tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. I might even have millions of users. But the thing about it is when you start thinking about apps for Office and apps for SharePoint, those that have traditionally done apps for Office development or apps for SharePoint development, traditionally you've done that behind the firewall. So you haven't necessarily had to think about internet scale, haven't necessarily had to think about the fact that you might have hundreds of millions of users on your app for Office now or your app for SharePoint, because you were building those solutions pretty much behind the firewall. But now with apps for Office and SharePoint, where the apps for Office can be out in the Office store and the apps for SharePoint can be out in the Office store on office.com, and you can potentially have hundreds of millions of users worldwide on those apps, now you have to start thinking about apps at scale. So what we want to do with this, in thinking about this, is what we want this SaaS application for these real estate agents. First of all, we want to build the SaaS application. And then secondly, we want to add companion apps along the side to be able to land data from the SaaS application in Office and data from the SaaS application in SharePoint Online with Office 365. So from a technical perspective then, we need to think about building apps at internet scale for apps for Office and SharePoint now. Now, that does not mean that you can't build apps for Office and apps for SharePoint behind the firewall. You still can absolutely do that. But there are some of you that are going to think that, well, you know, I can build this stuff during the day behind the firewall, but my gosh, there's some really cool opportunities to build some stuff, you know, on Saturdays and Sundays and evenings, and I can put this stuff now in the store on office.com, and I can also do a little moonlighting on the side. So that's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. So SaaS at internet scale. I'm going to talk about some things that I've been in computing a really long time. And there are some patterns in computing that are very, very common. This first pattern in computing, we've all used it, we've all seen it. It's this on-off pattern. We can think of that typically as batch processing. We collect a whole bunch of data, we fire up a process at some point in time, we crank through the data, and then we shut the process down. That is typical batch processing. We've all done that. That's probably not what you're going to do with a SaaS application. You want that thing to be up all the time. But there are other patterns that happen. One is an unpredictable pattern. What if you hit a compute cycle where all of a sudden something spins up? And we can think of this on especially in apps for Office, apps for SharePoint, things that are publicly available. Maybe something goes viral and you have this spike of requirement for compute power. What do you do about that? That's unpredictable bursting. Another pattern that we need to be aware of and think about is this pattern of predictable bursting. And we saw this in the Scott Goo demo, and there's a really neat opportunity for us to be able to auto-scale now within those Windows Azure websites. But this predictable bursting cycle, having worked at a university for over 18 years, the predictable bursting cycles were registration, and then a lull, and then grades, and then another registration, and a lull, and grades. So we had those very predictable cycles, and we could never, ever, ever buy a big enough mainframe to handle that top end. We always were short on capacity. Well, that's something we can think about, too, now with apps for Office and apps for SharePoint. Maybe there are some predictable cycles in the types of SaaS applications you offer. If it's an accounting-based application, you might have month-end or quarterly-end or year-end types of cycles you have to anticipate. So predictable bursting is one of the patterns. The one we probably want to really be able to focus on is this growing fast, or we have this nice trajectory of growth. That's where we would really like to be. We'd like to have our SaaS application continue to onboard new users and users over time, and we want to be able to scale up and out with that. So software as a service at internet scale, we need to have these types of compute patterns in mind. So How are we going to host it? What's our identity store going to be? And what's our website architecture going to be that underlies this SaaS application that we're going to build? So those are some things that we're going to keep in mind. And so with that, what we chose with our demo here is to build out this real estate SaaS application, build it out on Windows Azure. And so Brady's going to go ahead and talk about that.
Cool. Let me take the clicker. Awesome. So how many of you have used Windows Azure websites or Windows Azure all up so far, and you know about the scaling and such? Okay. Did anybody see the keynote the other day when we talked about all the auto-scaling features that you have inside of Windows Azure websites? Pretty cool feature, right? You guys really wanted that, right? It's good stuff. All right, well, here's what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to walk through the architecture, kind of the high-level architecture of the app components that we have, and show you what they look like in the portal, and just sort of draw some connections between all the different things and how we're going to use all of them. Obviously, the first thing that we're going to have is going to be a SQL database. I'm going to have a Windows Azure SQL database up in the cloud, and I'm actually going to write an ASP.NET application that's going to use EF to access the data in the database. And I'll show you what that database structure looks like in a moment. We're also going to use Windows Azure Storage. Any storage users in here so far? Table or blob? Okay, cool. Anybody ever put your blobs in a SQL database? Anybody ever get in trouble with your DBA after you do that? Okay. We're going to use Windows Azure Storage to store the blobs. Anybody have any idea what we're going to be using blobs for? It's a real estate site. Pictures. We're going to be putting pictures of the individual properties up in blob storage and accessing them. Why do we want to do that? Because that way we have pretty much unlimited storage capacity. You can have terabytes upon terabytes of storage up in Windows Azure. You can only have like up to a gigabyte on your website instance. So you don't want to store all those images in your website because you want to be able to grow forever. So we're going to use Windows Azure Storage for that. We're also going to be using Windows Azure Active Directory. You probably saw some demos earlier in the week during the keynote where we talked about Windows Azure Active Directory and the single sign-on kind of functionality. If you were in my talk yesterday on connecting websites to on-prem, you might have seen me do a demo where I actually authenticated a local site against an O365 domain. We're going to kind of go crazy with that idea today and kind of show you some more features of that. One thing I do want to point out, we're going to be using Visual Studio 2012 in our demos today. The tooling that you're going to see not only for Active Directory, but for Office and web and everything else, is going to be a lot stronger in Visual Studio 2013. So some of the things that you're going to see us do today are going to be a lot easier, if you can believe that, whenever you get the new bits. All right? Excuse me. Last piece we're going to use, obviously, is going to be Windows Azure Websites. I'm one of the websites guys. You're probably in Corey's talk earlier. He's the other website guy. One of the things that we're going to be talking about in this is we're going to be actually deploying this MVC application out to Windows Azure websites. And I think that's what we call a provider-hosted model for SharePoint. Yes. So that's a provider-hosted model. We're going to put the stuff out there and then wrap it all up in the SharePoint CRUM. So I'm going to show you how to do all that stuff today. With that being said, what I want to do right now is flip over to the portal and kind of show you some different components of what we're going to be using in the portal today. So there's my portal account. Actually, that's Donovan's portal account. Feel free to hack it. All right. So what I've got in here is a couple of different components. The first one of those components is going to be the Contoso Real Estate Storage Account. I'm going to go into that in just a second using a third-party tool called Cerebrata Cloud Storage Studio, I think is what it's called. And I'm just going to use that out of habit because I always use that to get to my blobs. You can get to your blobs using Visual Studio, and the new tools in 2013 are even better. But I do want to point out that there are other tools out there that you can use to get to your blobs. So that's the first piece. Second piece is obviously going to be that SQL database that we're going to have running up in the cloud. And then there's our Contoso Real Estate website. And the last piece that we have here is this Windows Azure Active Directory that we actually have in this account. And I want to go into that guy first and just show you one little piece that we're going to go into a little bit deeper here in just a minute. If I click here on applications, what you're going to see right here is we have a couple of different applications. You can tell we've been testing quite a bit. And this is the one that we're going to be talking to today. And if I click on this guy, I want to go down here and click on Manage Access just to kind of show you how this works. I'm going to click Change Directory, and you'll see right here that I've got Single Sign-On checked. So the idea behind this is we're going to allow Single Sign-On against Windows Azure Active Directory against this particular application. This is our Contoso Real Estate application, and we can actually connect that over to other domains. Show you more of that later. That's kind of the icing on the cake. So one thing I'll point out right here is we have this storage account right here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to just open up Cloud Storage Studio, and you're going to see here a whole bunch of images. These are all just different images. You can see there's my Contoso Real Estate Storage account, and inside of that guy I'm going to have blob containers, And I've got one blog container, which is my image listings. And if I were to actually look at these guys, I could copy the URL, could copy the blob URL, go over here to IE, just paste in that URL. You can see there's an image of a house. So you kind of get the idea. And we're basically naming all those image files with the ID of the house, kind of a poor man's trick, but that's how we're going to do it. And then this is our SQL database. Just going to show you real quickly what this database structure looks like. And this is actually a copy of it running locally on my computer. So you see we've got lending institution, lending program. We're going to get into that in a minute. A list of all the listing photos, real estate agents. And obviously, we're going to have the real estate listing. So if I hit F5 right here, you're just going to see this is all the different stuff in our database. So this is actually the data that we're going to be communicating back to. So that's kind of a high-level view of how we're going to be using Windows Azure in this application to do all these different components. I want you to see that. So that if you've played with Azure in the past, you can actually kind of see, oh, that's how you would connect those dots. That's how I would use each one of the different offerings on the platform to build an entire application out. I'll turn it back over to Donovan for a second. I think. Yep. Actually, I'm going to dive even deeper. All right. So going on with this stuff, just to kind of point out what we're going to be talking about in the code. I'm going to go ahead and dive into code here in a minute. We're not going to be doing any live coding. That's kind of dangerous, especially with an application of this magnitude. So I'm actually just going to be walking through all that code and showing you a couple of different components. Before I do that, I want to walk through the different topics that I'm going to be using in the web application itself and just kind of get a show of hands, and I'm really just trying to understand where everybody is so I know how deep to go or not to go. How many of you have done MVC 4 or MVC 3, MVC 2, whatever? Cool, okay. How about JavaScript, MVVM, or Silverlight MVVM? You guys kind of grok the idea of MVVM? Okay, anybody use Knockout or Backbone or something like that? Okay. I'm basically doing like a custom set of MVC controllers, and I'm also wiring up custom view model classes in my JavaScript and custom controller classes in my JavaScript as well. So I'm kind of using some JavaScript OO. At one point, Donovan and I got together, and he said, well, I just have all these functions in here. Like, you know, can't we just run these functions? I said, yeah, but web developers are kind of picky about that, so I want to make some controllers and some view models here. So, you know, if you like the functional approach, that's great. Party with that. I like the object approach. It makes for really easy reuse, and you're going to see me actually reusing some of those controllers and view models today, both on the client and on the server. All right, moving right along, web API. Any big web API fans in the room? The reason we're going to be using Web API is because, as you've probably seen in some of the other talks, or as Donovan's kind of alluded to so far, the new programming model in Office is going to be JavaScript and HTML. So the best way for you to get data back and forth from the server is obviously going to be to use JavaScript and REST. So we're actually going to be doing REST controllers back on the server that we're going to be accessing from our apps for Office using JavaScript. Right, moving right along, we're also going to be using the Office 2013 JavaScript and CSS stuff. So that's kind of the lay of the land, the different technologies that we're going to be using. And just to point out right here, we're going to have these different, we're going to have one big controller or one big web project, and then we're actually going to have a couple of different views in there, home, your account sign-up page, a couple of shared views, and we're also going to be using the real estate listings views in there as well. And I'll walk through all that stuff here in a moment. Okay. So what I want to do now is I'm going to open up a browser. Can you pop me into the...
Oh, I'm sorry.
No worries. So what I want to do now is I want to pop open my browser. I've got a couple of shortcuts set up here. So I'm just going to go ahead and click on this shortcut. And that's going to take us out to contosorealestate.azurewebsites.net. You can see I'm using Twitter Bootstrap for this. If you've been watching the other Visual Studio web talk so far, you know Twitter Bootstrap is going to be part of the new template model. I'll hand-rolled all this. So any Bootstrap fans out there? Okay, so the idea behind this is the website that people can go to find out what Contoso Real Estate is going to offer. I can go out there right now. You can see that I've got a couple of guys up here that are going to be you know, public. Actually, I'm going to do this real quick since I'm logged in more than once. I'm actually going to fire this up in an in-private browser. So here we go. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to search listings, and you'll see right here that these listings just come back. The idea behind this is these are really going to be like hot buttons. So if I go over here and I select this guy and I change this to 3, you'll see right here everything is going to change. If I were to change this to 2, this is going to change. If I scroll back up here and go to 4, you're going to see that we're actually making REST calls back and forth to the server. So as I change those menus, I'm actually going to be getting data back from the server using REST and then just drawing everything out using JavaScript and view models and all that goodness. So what I'll do real quickly is I want to go ahead and click sign in right here. And I've got a cheat sheet with all the logins that we're going to be using for this demo, so I want to go over and grab that. Hopefully, is that the right one? Yeah. And you'll see now I've logged in, and I've logged in using my on Microsoft domain. We've got a couple of extra stuff right here, and right here I've got edit your listings. What we're kind of making the assumption here is that I'm a real estate agent who's signed up, and I want to be able to use the SaaS application to actually edit all of my listings. So if I go into this guy, this is really just an MVC controller. I created an EF model, and I just did that add new controller and give me an MVC view with, you know, CRUD operations already, you know, gutted out for me. You'll see right here I've got all my listings. I can click edit. If I wanted to edit this, I could actually go in and edit right here and, you know, do whatever I wanted. And I've got a sign out link. And what we'll get to in a minute are these document templates right here. And you'll see that we've got a real estate flyer and mortgage calculator. And Donovan's going to kind of dive into that here momentarily. Before he does, what I want to show you is kind of the structure of our solution here. Like I said, Donovan's going to go a little bit deeper into this. But what I've got here is I've got this web project. And in this web project, I've got a couple of different controllers. Here's my home controller. Really not a whole bunch of code in there. Really the only thing that I'm doing here is just returning views back to the client. And the reason that I'm doing that is everything is going to be JavaScript for all intents and purposes. These two guys, if I were to open one of these up, this is going to inherit from API controller. Just like that MVC controller that I just showed you a second ago, I actually scaffolded this directly from my EF model. This is all designer driven. I didn't have to write any of this code by hand. I just said add new web API controller, pointed at a model, pointed at a context, and allowed it to generate everything. And this is what we're actually going to be showing to pull back the lending institutions and the lending programs, which Donovan's going to dive into here a little bit more in a second. And then just like before, here's the real estate listings controller, same kind of thing. This is an MVC view. Now what we've done in here, is if I go in here to views and I look at home, see there's our index view. Really not that much to it. It's just kind of a typical bootstrap layout. And if I were to go over here to shared, you're going to see that we have a couple of different shared office shared views here. I've got my layout file. You guys probably use layout files in MVC so far. And I've also got an app for office layout file, and that's what we're going to be using inside of our apps for office. I'm just going to dive into that here in just a minute. And then I've also got a SharePoint layout, and that's because we're going to be rolling this up into SharePoint. So I figured we might have other views that we want to add into SharePoint later on. So I've made an individual layout page for all of those different scenarios. So that's kind of the high level of what that looks like. If I were to go over here right here to real estate listings, you'll see that there's nothing too complicated there. And let me think here. What else would I want to show you inside of this guy? With my controllers, already shown you that. Well, that's about it. If I can find this one more. I've got this search listings guy right here. No, that's not it. The search partial. This is actually that search form that I showed you. This is basically a partial that wires up everything for the drop-down menus to actually populate that list back. And if I scroll down here and I kind of show you what this looks like, you'll see that I'm using handlebars to actually set up all my templates so that whenever something comes back, I just saturate all that stuff with JavaScript. Anybody using handlebars or AngularJS or some of those other JavaScript templating guys? Handlebars makes it really, really easy. You don't have to concatenate HTML in your JavaScript. We don't like that, right? It's kind of like dynamic SQL. Not a good call. So I've got this view model here. It's just got a series of listings. And then I've got my controller. I pass that guy an instance of my view model. And then I basically bind everything up. So whenever somebody changes one of those drop-down menus, I want to go ahead and make a post back to this API listing search. When we get back everything, I'm just going to new up an instance of that handlebars template and then data bind the rest of the form. So there's really not that much to it. And if I were to go over here to the, is it in the home view? Yeah, search. What you'll see is, just like you've probably done with MVC in the past, I've actually got a reference to that partial that I'm wiring up right here. And in my page load event in my jQuery handler, I just new up an instance of that search controller, which is in that partial view, and I call this data bind function, and it just wires right up. So that's basically a way of me using a real MVC view to wrap a partial MVC view that we're going to be using later on. Now, interesting thing about that partial view is, since it's all HTML and JavaScript, I can probably use it in a whole bunch of different contexts. I think that's when we're going to dive back into the office stuff, all right?
Yep, sounds good. Okay, so what we have then, what we have is the SaaS application. It's now running in the back end. You've seen the website. It's running in the back end. But a SaaS application is not necessarily just about everything that the listing agent would want to do or the real estate agent would want to do is on the website. There's other things that they do. They are probably in Office, okay? They probably want to do some mortgage calculation, what-if types of scenarios against the questions that come in from their customers. They would like to do that in Excel. They would also like to create flyers from the information that they've already put into their SaaS backend. They would like to create flyers in Word. So how are they going to do that? Well, as Brady showed, he showed the that one page in the SaaS application where you can download a template, you can download an Excel template, you can download a Word template. And if you've been to the other sessions, you realize that an app for Office essentially is this little manifest file plus a website, a web application. That is all it takes to equal an app for Office. Okay? So what we've done, I'll come over here. Let me just go forward here. So what we've done for the apps for Office to create these companion apps for our SaaS application, what we did, as Brady showed, we want to land the data in Office. And so what we have is a mortgage calculator app for Excel. And you saw the lending institution and the lending programs in our back-end database. That's where we've just placed, okay, so we have a number of banks that lend money, and those banks lend have different programs to be able to lend money at different rates for a number of year terms, 30-year, 20-year, 15-year, and we have those in our back-end database. But you can also think about the fact that that could potentially be reaching out to the web and grabbing that data real time on a daily basis from some back-end service. We've just mapped that in our application here. We've just mapped that to the fact that the SaaS application is going to be keeping that updated on a daily basis in our SQL back-end. Now, so we've added a mortgage calculator app for Office. And then we've also added the search listings because we want to be able to create flyers in Word. And we want to be able to search the listings, and when we click a listing, we want to be able to automatically generate a flyer and then be able to go ahead and print those out and take those to homes. So these are the two applications that we've built, so I'm going to drill down into these. Now, what you've seen in the previous sessions, you've seen apps for Office where you go and you do insert app for Office and it shows over on the right hand side and then you interact with the document. You've seen that. That's good, but that is an app that essentially is user driven in the sense that the user has to be somewhere on the document and whatever they click over here in the app for Office, wherever the insertion point is, that's what they're going to get. Or if they double click something in the document, then they can potentially pass that off into the app. What we wanted to do is we want to provide our real estate agents a template for a mortgage app and for a flyer app that already has the app for Office associated with it. Okay? So that when the template comes down, the app for Office is there. And when we have a template like this, then there's some special things that we can do. Now we can drive and data into specific areas in the flyer or in the Excel document because we know exactly where those areas are. And we can essentially wire that up with our JavaScript object model. So what I want to do is show you that. So let me come over here to our app manifest file. Now, as we mentioned yesterday in the Office, the 0 to 60 session on apps for Office, we mentioned that there are several places where apps for Office manifests can be stored and be trusted. There is, the Office Store on office.com, which essentially manages manifest files so that if you go out to office.com and you insert an app, then the app is going to be looking for the manifest out in office.com essentially. But you can also have the app manifest stored within Office 365 in SharePoint Online. But another place where you can trust manifest is also on an internal file share. So in my case here, just for testing purposes, I essentially have set up a file share on my C drive where I'm going to just have a manifest hosted. So I'll go ahead and here I have the Contosa Real Estate Mortgage Calculator manifest, and here I have the Real Estate Office Flyer manifest. So I'm going to go ahead and open this with Internet Explorer just to take a look at this manifest for just a second here and just show you some of the things that are a part of a manifest file. With respect to the Excel file, here's the manifest. This is a content app. A content app lays on the document. A task pane app shows off to the right-hand side. So for Excel, we have a content app. And then we also have the fact that this is going to be, let me just get this here, that this is going to be in a workbook. Here is our Contoso Real Estate website. And we are hitting on this. We're hitting the mortgage calculator view, essentially. And then we're also, with a content app, you can also declare the size that that content app is when it lays on the page. You have control over that. The task pane apps, you don't have control over. You don't have control over the requested width and height, but you do with the content app. Okay, so we have both of these manifests. We've downloaded them from our SaaS site because we make those available. Once you're a registered user, we make those available. We can download those, put those into this trusted location, and now they're available to the office clients. So with this, we'll go ahead and open up, first of all, our real estate app for Office. So we've downloaded the template, and now what we have is over on the right-hand side, for those of you that are new to Apps for Office, we just have essentially a browser inside of the Office client. It's a special browser control. There's some things you can't do. Everything that comes in there must be HTTPS. And we can't get down into some of the technical details, but for the sake of time. But it's essentially a safe place to be able to run your HTML and JavaScript. So in this, we are just simply reaching out to our back-end website now. We have this content. Again, as Brady mentioned, it's in our database. We've already done that work on the website as a real estate agent. We've put our listings in. Here's the listings that are being returned. Same set of code is running behind this that runs on the web view. So when I look at this, what I can do is I can go, well, gosh, I want to select a house here. So I select this house right here. And what it does is it brings the image directly into the site, brings all the data over into my document template. So I've loaded up the listing information. We can look down here. Here's the street address. Here's the details. So all of that's coming out of the database that I stored back in my SaaS application. Well, let's go ahead, and the beauty of this is that once I have an image in here, once I've populated image into Word, it's just a Word image. It's just a Word image here. So I can do things like format this image, so I can crop it, make it look nice, bring this over. I can bring this down just a little bit, bring this up just a bit, clean up this picture, get rid of the neighbor's house there, and go ahead and crop that, and then I can stretch it, have it fill my site here. But again, just because it's an image, I can lay any type of view that I want on that, any type of style around that image. So I get the goodness of Word, I get Apps for Office, and a JavaScript object model that can talk from my web page into my document. Now, what's interesting about this is that I can also come in here and I go, okay, well, I personally haven't written this app that I want, but I know that I have another app out here, an app for Office, and it's a QR4 Office app. So I'll go ahead and close this app, and this app will make a code for me with any HTTP address that I give it. So I'm not going to type in an HTTP address, but I want to put a QR code on my document here. So I'll come into my document, and I'll go text box, draw a text box. I'll draw a text box down here, and my cursor is right there. And now again, I can just simply insert this code into my document. I can pick the code, stretch it out, and then close that out, save the document, and now I have a flyer that also has a QR code. With my SaaS application, I didn't write that app, but it's an app out in the store. So this is the way you can begin to use Apps for Office in many, many, many different ways and mash up content from many different types of apps for Office on a single document. So I can save this, I can print it, and I'm good to go. Now, we'll go ahead and close this out, but Okay, so I've printed those off. I have lots of flyers out there. People are starting to call me because they want this house, and they go, hey, how much is it going to cost me on a monthly basis if I were to purchase this house? So this is where our Excel mortgage app template comes in. So here we have a content app now that we've provided to our real estate agents. So we can now select, and we're hitting web API on the back end. We can select the loans. We can select 30-year, 15-year, 10-year. How much is that going to cost? And we have our Excel document here doing everything that it does just really, really well. But we're pulling data now, interacting with our document with data that's live back on our SaaS application. Now that's pretty cool. I can change the dollar amount here. We can go 400,000. It's probably cheap here, but 400,000, and boom, we automatically recalculate. Excel does what Excel does well, and we are just bringing live data in from our back-end SaaS application. So this is the way that you can start landing your SaaS information or any kind of information from your line of business systems into the hands of your users that are using Office and SharePoint in a very simple and easy way. And essentially what we did, we added some views on the MVC app, and we'll look at those in just a second. But how do we wire this up? So if you look at this, and this is kind of some of that advanced kind of steps there. If you look at this, as I click down through some of these locations here, you'll see up here in the right-hand corner, you'll see that we have a value up here, term. And if we click around, I can show you here, this is FIR, you see that up here. And so this is points. Now, those are what are called named ranges. And so we'll show you how to wire those up in just a second here. So essentially what happens is that when you create a document template like this, you can put those named ranges in place. How do you create a named range? Well, you click on a cell and you give it a name. Donovan, hit enter, and now anytime you want to go to Donovan, Excel remembers Donovan. That's the way that you do it in Excel. What about in Word? So if I open up Word, how do I have those known locations in Word? Well, in Word, they're called content controls. And so in this case, I have a content control here, and it's by the name of it. It's just, you can see it here, I've named it CC Photo. How do you add a content control? You go to the developer tab. The developer tab isn't enabled by default. So you go to the developer tab, and from the developer tab, you go ahead and you simply go, where am I? Developer tab, design, here I go, a rich content control, and I find a place on the document to place it, and then I can name the content control. Okay? So once you have the content control named, like I do here, this is where I'm going to place my photo. Here, this is CC list price. All of those are known locations on the document, so now my JavaScript can wire up to those. So let's go ahead and with that, go ahead and open the Visual Studio here, and let's look at the mortgage calculator. So when the mortgage calculator fires up, you have right here, we have this Office Initialize, and we have App Initialize. App Initialize essentially is the entry point into the JavaScript object model. So we do that at the very first part. We get the JavaScript object model wired up. And then I simply execute this function here, create named ranges. And notice the names, lender, program, lock, points. All of those known named ranges on the Excel document, now I can wire up in my JavaScript so when the document loads, then my app for Office knows about those locations. Then, as I go through selections, once I drop down the program and I do a selection of the, drop down the lender and do a selection on the program, on that selection, I simply fire update Excel data, and this is where I set the data async using our JavaScript object model, and that puts the data in there. Now, I do the same thing with Word. Essentially, with Word, we wire it up in this way. where here's the names of each of the content controls that I put on the document. I do an add from named item async when I fire up my document. And then when we make a selection of the listing, then we go ahead and set the data async. And this is where I can go ahead and I reach out to my blob storage here, and I actually load the blob directly in, just simply using an HTML URL for a source. So here's my listing ID. So templates give you a way to control the way you want your app for Office to be able to interact with the document. So with that, let's come back over here to the slides. Well, that's great. We have apps for Office out there working with our Office 2013 clients. We've given those out to our customers of our SaaS application. But a lot of those customers of the SaaS application, they also have Office 365, and so they have SharePoint Online, and they want to be able to interact with our SaaS application too. So we want to make it nicer and easier for them to be able to use some of the great things that SharePoint has alongside of it. So SharePoint, what does it have? It has custom lists. It has document libraries that we can go ahead and create. So we want to have a customer list out there where our customers are stored. We want that document, that mortgage calc document, to be a part of a document library as the content type, for those of you that are familiar with SharePoint. But we also want to be able to have a listing mashup to where inside of SharePoint, essentially, we want to be able to take listings, the search listings, and we want to be able to look at our customer list, and we want to be able to select from our properties and match those up with customers and store that back on to a SharePoint list where we can do all kinds of things, add SharePoint types of things on that. So with that, with SharePoint, to be able to talk about SharePoint and Kirk talk back to SharePoint as a service, Kirk Evans gave a great session on this week about apps for Office and SharePoint with respect to OAuth and how to communicate back to SharePoint and using OAuth in that context. So there's a great talk on that. But we have OAuth, Windows Azure Access Control. And then the last thing that we want is to have this wired up so we have this single sign-on experience to where anybody that can go ahead and access Office 365 can have single sign-on to our SaaS application.
And that's any Office 365 account in the world, pretty much.
Yeah, any Office 365 on the planet. That's pretty exciting with one way to write your SaaS app. Mm-hmm. So, Brady.
Okay. What I want to do real quickly is I'm going to walk through some of that code that actually makes some of that work. And the first thing that you'll see here is, first thing that you'll see here is that I have this SharePoint app layout guy popped open right here. And this is actually an MVC layout view that I'm using that is just going to kind of skin everything that I would ever want to load up into SharePoint. Just walk you through some of that code real quick. I've got my render body here just like any other MVC thing. Now, in this guy, I've actually got a SharePoint page view model, and the idea behind this is I might have one or two different pages that I want to load up into SharePoint or surface in that Chrome control, so I'm just going to put all that functionality, all that base functionality that I need to do again and again and again for any one of those pages inside of my MVC layout view. So I've got this guy. I'm going to new up an instance of the controller, and there are a couple of variables that Donovan understands far better than I do, and these are the app URL and the host URL, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to wire that up so that the Chrome control knows how to render these individual views right there inside of that SharePoint Chrome control. I'm going to have a method here called render Chrome control. We've joked about how we misspelled that because we can't say Chrome. So I've got render Chrome control here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to basically register all this stuff, get the navigation set up. And I've got a couple of query string parameters that I'm going to need to get out of that individual URL that's going to be pulling that stuff up into the SharePoint control. So I've just made a reusable function here that I can use inside of that controller. Now over here, I've got the SharePoint apps index page. Sorry. Right here is my index page. And you'll see the first thing is that that's actually going to use that SharePoint app layout control. So that's going to go ahead and pull that in. And look at here. It's also going to pull in that search page. So we've got this search page that we've reused on the SaaS app, in the Word application. Donovan didn't show you this, but we could actually surface that listing application up into the Excel app that he showed you too, so that if you want to basically pull up a house that one of your customers wants to get a price on, you could see the price, and then you could actually use that lending program to actually calculate what they're going to have to pay. So you can actually do all that stuff as well. And then I've got this container right here, and if I scroll down really quickly, you're going to see we're again using a list of using a handlebars list. And the reason we're doing this is we have a contact list up in SharePoint, and we want to show all those contacts. And then down below, I just wire all this stuff up, wire up the view model. I've got an add customer method, and we're going to kind of go into what that's going to do here in a second, but this is when we get into the mashup functionality. So what we're going to do here is I'm going to pull that listing search from our backend database running up in Windows Azure, and I'm going to pull the list of customers that we have in our SharePoint contact list, and we're going to mash those two pieces up. I'm going to say I want to associate an individual listing or more than one listing with an individual or more than one contact. So I want to be able to marry those two guys up and then save that list back to SharePoint. You want to go ahead and show that off?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good. Let's just see how this works inside the app here, inside of our hitting our website. So we'll go ahead and come out here. So here we're now in our Office 365 website. Okay, so we're in Office 365, SharePoint Online, and we have a landing page for our Contoso Real Estate SharePoint site. But this is where I wanted to show that we have the document libraries that are already a part of MVC application or have been added to the solution, and I'll look at those in just a minute. Here's our document library. Go into Files, New Document. Here is our document template for our Excel application. We can go ahead and open that up now directly from inside of SharePoint. And sorry, Excel has opened two workbooks. Okay, so let's go ahead and close this guy out. And we'll go ahead and do that again. Open Excel, and again, right within side of our Office 365, now for our SaaS backend real estate partners, we have the Excel app available. So I can go again, it's exactly what we did before. I can go ahead and make any selection I want. But when I save this document, it's going to actually then save back into my document library. So that's the SharePoint goodness that's there. If I come also over here, I simply can go into my flyer, document library. So here again, it's the same thing. I have my flyer document all wired up to be my content type, and so I have access to that. And again, I save it, and it goes directly back into my document library. So the other thing, here's my customer list. So I have a list of customers, and this is just so that SharePoint is the location now where I'm just saving my customers. But this is where we get the mashup capability, because I have a list of all my customers, and I'm going to want to be able to mash them up with the listings that they select, or that I want to select for them. Just come back over here. What I'd like to do is just take a second and show you the code here. If we come into the application, what we have inside of our solution is we simply have our, I'll go ahead and close that out, we simply have our SharePoint app built inside of our solution as well. And in the SharePoint app, our app for SharePoint, essentially I've added my customers list. You can see the list that I've added here. Here's my customers list, the customer selection list. This is my document flyer library and my mortgage calculator library. If I click down on the document library, go ahead and click into the DocLib. Oh, I'm not going to go there right now. It just takes a second, but I'm not going to go there right now for the sake of time. But you can see, well, actually it did open up here where it was saved last. You can see that this is where I go ahead and set the flyer document as the content type for that library. So this can just be all wired up with the standard tooling. Okay. So the last thing that we'll show here with respect to this is we'll come here to our landing page. And the last thing I want to show is that this is where we do the mashup. So in this case, sorry. So now what we have is the Chrome Control wrapper. This is an app for SharePoint on the provider-hosted side. So here we have our Chrome Control, which is up at the top, which gives us the link back. But we are actually, this is actually running on the SaaS application on the MVC4 site. So here we can make our same selections. Can make a select to bathroom. Come down here, I can select Donovan. I can go to Bruce here, and then I can select Brady and Donovan both, and we can go ahead and select this offering here. We can write those back then using the REST APIs going back into SharePoint. Now we can write those directly back into SharePoint to a SharePoint list. Now, from a SharePoint perspective, those of you that work with SharePoint, you can think about all the things that can happen when a list gets inserted, when a list item gets inserted. You can drive workflows. You can drive all kinds of remote events and actions off of that right back into the list. So all of SharePoint goodness is available to you from your provider-hosted app through the rich APIs that we give you on the SharePoint side. So now your app just treats SharePoint as a service. It reaches back in, pulls out the customer list data, you do some work, and then you write the data back into SharePoint. So SharePoint is just treated as a service at this point in time. So with that, Brady?
Cool. So what you've seen here today is basically a way for you to write your apps for Office, and you've seen how to take those apps for Office, deploy them out to Windows Azure websites where you're going to have pretty much unlimited scale. You've also seen how to use Windows Azure websites to host an application so that you can wrap it in the SharePoint Chrome. Okay, so a couple things that I want to point out here. When you're thinking about web scale, when you're thinking about internet scale, there are a few considerations that you're going to need to make. First and foremost, one of the things that I always tell people is if you're going to deploy your web application out to Windows Azure websites, go ahead and assume that one day you're going to slide the slider. You guys know what I mean when I say slide the slider? One day you're going to have more than one instance. Okay, you're going to want to add three instances. You're going to want to scale out or scale up. So there's a big time consideration when it comes to that. Think of that in terms of being a web farm. Anybody ever done sessions in ASP and ASP.NET? So you know about storing it in proc versus out of proc. If you make one request to your server and then your second request you land on a different box, you're going to have an out of proc session problem. So what you want to do is you want to make sure that you use something like SQL or State Server or roll your own to actually put that stuff, put all your session data into some sort of back end that will service more than one web server. So I do want to point that out. Like you've seen us do, we've uploaded these images into Blob Storage. Blob Storage has something that sits on top of it called Windows Azure CDN. Why is that valuable? Because if you use a CDN, those images are going to come down much faster because they're going to be cached in the edge servers geographically from wherever they're getting requested. So I do want to point out that if you have static resources like that or big JavaScript or something that doesn't change that often, you might want to put those guys up in CDN so that they're cached and your website ends up being faster and therefore your SaaS app ends up being faster, your Office app ends up being faster, et cetera, et cetera. It just ends up being better. You also probably want to implement some sort of retry logic. So if you're doing something around Service Bus or you're using Windows Azure Table Storage or Blob Storage, you might want to implement some of the built-in retry logic so that if the first attempt doesn't really work, you can go ahead and issue the second attempt. So I do want to point out that's actually rolled into the SDK and the API, so that's already in there. All right, because those are all REST calls behind the scenes. Something that you probably saw in the keynote the other day was this concept of log streaming in Windows Azure websites. You can actually see your trace data coming into Visual Studio. You can also do the same thing using the Node CLI tools, or you can do the same thing using the PowerShell commandlets. So you could actually have a log popping up on your screen as users are hitting your site. Anybody see that in the keynote the other day? Anybody dig that? Anybody ooh and ah? I was one. All right, so I do want to point out that you do have all that, scaling and logging capability, and you can really get deep into what's going on inside of your application and scale it out however you want to. In terms of the mode, you're going to want to do free, shared, or standard. So you guys understand the difference with that. Everything that we've shown you today, this is the best part. Everything that we've shown you today, we're running on a free instance of Windows Azure websites. So you could actually get this application off the ground and running with an O365 account and with a free Windows Azure website account. And as soon as you see that your traffic is beginning to take off and you're starting to see a bunch of traffic, then you can flip it over to a reserved or standard instance, and you could scale that out however you need to. You can also implement that auto-scaling happiness that you saw in the keynote the other day so that you can basically burst your server count up and down whenever you need to. So I do want to point out that you have all that capability available, and it's something that you need to think about, because if you deploy out to the cloud, you're kind of making the implication that at some point you're going to want to scale horizontally or vertically. So it's just some considerations that you need to have in place that you've probably dealt with in the past if you've ever had to do a web farm deployment. So just something to think about there.
Okay, the last thing that I want to show here just real quick, and then Brady will show you in the Windows Azure portal how you essentially what the Windows Azure portal gives you with respect to Active Directory. Here I am. I'm sitting on my Office 365 account. I'm just going to open a new tab. I'm going to go to Contoso Real Estate Websites, hit boom. Notice this right here. I am logged in with my DPE Apps 2013 on Microsoft.com account. Single sign-on to my SaaS back and for essentially for free. So Brady's going to go ahead and show you just what Windows Azure website gives you, websites, Windows Azure Active Directory gives you to be able to do that.
Yep. And before I do that, one of the things that I want to do is you'll see that Donovan has authenticated using his account, and we've obviously authenticated using the domain account that we're using, that we're hosting that SharePoint app in. But what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go over here and do sign in. And I've already done this. I could show you the sign up process. But I'm going to log in using my own account on Microsoft. I'm going to do a sign in right there. And you'll see right here that I'm actually logged in as my own O365 account. Now, like we pointed out a minute ago, anybody in the world that has an Office 365 account can authenticate against this guy. Okay? Anybody in the world can do that as long as you have that account. And you can actually set that up and do multiple logins if you want to. If I go over here to my directory, you'll see here are some users that we actually have that are resident within our own WAD domain. If I go over here to applications and I click on this guy again, I think we pointed this out, but what I've got here is I've got this URL, update this code with your Federation metadata document. That's the stuff that you'll probably hear Vittorio talk about, or you probably already heard Vittorio talk about. He's our identity guy. He knows all about this stuff, and he goes really, really deep into these topics. But what I want to show you real quickly is that I've got enable your app for external users. I can go right here and basically use this URL. Excuse me. I can open up. Do I already have my guy open? Yeah, I do. I'm going to close that one down. I can actually go right here and paste this URL in. And what it's going to ask me to do here is actually log in. And when I log in, it's the same thing as me showing you, if I were to click on this sign up link right here, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to log in as my own account again. And I'm logged in as a domain admin on my O365 account, so I'm going to be able to grant access. So basically what I'm doing here is I'm saying I want you to give this account running in Windows Azure websites and sitting on top of AD, I want you to give it access to my O365 account listing so that people in my store can log in there. So I do want to point out that that's pretty easy to do. And like I showed you before with this Manage Access button, I can click this and I can actually change this so that it's either just single sign-on with reading the actual data, or single sign-on I can write the data back itself. If I go over here to the Configure tab, see right here, here's the link for granting access that I showed you. And whenever you do this, you actually have to set this up as the domain that you've got set up inside of your WAD account. And I'm giving it a reply URL so that the OData knows how to, not OData, OAuth, knows how to get back to my actual application whenever somebody logs in. Like I said, there's a couple of great resources online from Vittorio's blog. I think it's cloudidentity.net or .com, I can't remember which. Is that it? There we go. So this guy, Vittorio, he talks a lot about identity. So if you want to kind of go deeper into these areas, I would highly recommend that you check out his blog. You probably saw in the keynote that there's a lot improved tooling inside of Visual Studio 2013 that will be coming out soon. I have kind of a Franken build of that on my computer, so I'm not going to show you that because we don't know what's going to happen. But I do want to point out that the new tooling, you saw that yesterday, it's super easy. Whenever you create a new MVC app or any kind of an ASP.NET app, there's a button in there that says Configure Authentication. You would just enter in your O365 account, and it'll go on out and federate to your WAD.
Okay, great. Thank you, Brady. Just some resources here. The dev.office.com site is your begin-all, end-all for all documentation, code samples, how to get started. Everything that you need about building apps for Office and SharePoint is dev.office.com. The Office Apps blog is a great blog. A lot of our product managers write on that blog to help you have some ideas with respect to how to maybe reach back into office.com and check the licenses and to be able to manage that and what kind of APIs are available. But so we have a lot of great writers on the Office Apps blog. There's my blog, the Office Forums. Make sure that you push your questions out to the Office Forums there, the Office Apps Forums. There's one more session today. If you want to build apps for Yammer, enterprise apps for Yammer, then attend that session this afternoon from 2 to 3. The other sessions will all be online, so make sure that if you missed any of those, to grab those. Now, just to say this, it's a great day to be a developer. I'm excited about being a developer. I love what we have the opportunity to do. So go build some great apps for Office and SharePoint. Make somebody's day different because your app is really, really, really cool and they love to use it. So on behalf of Microsoft, thank you for attending Build. On Brady and my behalf, thank you so much for attending this session. We really appreciate it. Thank you. We'll hang around shortly for any quick questions, and we'll be able to take them out in the hall. And I'm for you forever, how long you want to talk. So just let me know.